We now bring to these microphones David James. It's the end of the week, and it's time for us to have a conversation with our good buddy and friend and broadcast partner, David James. And David, we catch you out in the Philippines as we do this special edition of Prophecy Today. America has a new president. Well, we're going to bring that into our conversation. But you're in the Philippines for your third week in a row, still ministering?
Yes, that's right. Actually, I head out in just a few hours to catch a plane back through Tokyo and Chicago, 30-hour trip door-to-door. Finished teaching Proverbs to the second-year students here at the Word of Life Bible Institute, and I was also the main speaker for a group of 200 10th graders from a large Christian school in Manila. And then yesterday I did a concert, and we did an invitation at the end for both salvation and dedication and full-time ministry. And I'm guessing probably 180 of those 200 came forward, and I'm guessing probably at least 50 of them were for salvation.
Wow. Praise the Lord for the unbelievable outreach and ministry there in the Philippines. Well, we, of course, want to have you be safe as you travel back. We'll wish you Godspeed at the end of our conversation, but give the greetings to our friends out there in the Philippines as well. David, last week, an article on Breitbart cited a Roman Catholic bishop in Italy who had a harsh rebuke for the European leaders because of the rapid growth of Islam in that part of the world.
Well, that's right. This was the Archbishop Emeritus of Pompeii, Italy. He was saying that Islam will soon become Europe's main religion because of the immigrants and also because of the increasing secularism of Europeans. And let me just share with you briefly a quote of his, really strong. Keep in mind, this is a Catholic archbishop. He said, "In 10 years, we will all be Muslims because of our stupidity. Italy and Europe live in a pagan and atheist way. They make laws that go against God, and they have traditions that are proper of paganism. All this moral and religious decadence favors Islam." He says, "We have a Christian faith, but the church nowadays does not work well, and our seminaries are empty."
Wow. What a powerful statement. And as you said, from a Catholic bishop. Man, that's amazing. Well, David, there's another prime example of what this bishop might call stupidity also, coming out of Europe, this time from Great Britain, where the Quran was read in a Scottish Anglican church. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it really is hard to believe. You can just do a Google on it. You can find it on the UK Guardian. You can find it on BBC's website. And it was, like you said, a Scottish Anglican church. And actually, the occasion for this was the Feast of the Epiphany, which I believe is January 6th at St. Mary's Cathedral in Glasgow. They read from the Book of Miriam, which is the surah in the Quran that tells about Jesus' birth. And it includes the Islamic teaching that Jesus was not the Son of God. Now, how in the world they're saying that, well, this is to show, kind of like give an equal opportunity and to show the tolerance. Well, you have just completely undermined the entire Christian faith if you take the Islamic view of who Jesus is.
Absolutely. You know, a big part of the problem in Europe, as I've watched from afar, and then sometimes when I'm in Europe, we've been able to recognize this as well, is the rapidly changing demographics of the area due to the refugee crisis, as well as the higher birth rate among Muslims.
Well, that's right. We've all been watching the news and talking about this incredible refugee crisis coming out of the Middle East, many from Syria, but many from other countries, as well as infiltration of ISIS fighters coming in with that group. And that's growing by leaps and bounds. And countries like Germany are just completely overwhelmed. France is the same way in other countries. But the other thing is, as you mentioned, the birth rate, people may not understand this, but in order for a population to maintain so that the death rate and birth rate are equal and that you just to maintain a population, you have to have about 2.2 children per family. So some families have to have two children, some have to have three in order to maintain a population. And every country in Europe, as far as I know, has negative population growth. But on the other hand, Muslim women today worldwide, I believe, have about three children on average per family. And Europe, it's not quite that high, but it's still just above the rate that's necessary. And so just by the matter of attrition, people dying faster than being born, the Muslims are going to take over in both counts.
You know, it's interesting phenomena that I've been seeing unfold, David. Politicians and the media have done their very best to try to persuade us that Islam is a religion of peace and that it's just one of the three equally important and valid Abrahamic faiths.
Well, yes, that's what they try to say. It's a bit of sleight of hand. Another, it's deceptive. And three, it's a complete misunderstanding of what's going on. Of course, Judaism and Christianity are related because one flows right into the other. Jesus was Jewish and his apostles were Jewish and they became Christians on the day of Pentecost. And so Christianity does flow out of that. But Islam, even though they may trace their roots back to Abraham, it's in a completely different a branch, and this is why we understand from the Bible that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, and it's through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that the Jewish people came, and out of that came Christianity. But Muslims teach that Abraham was actually going to sacrifice Ishmael, and that it's a completely different branch than Judaism and Christianity. In fact, they say that the Jews corrupted the entire Old Testament and the record of history, and furthermore, they say that Jesus was a Muslim, and when he returns, he will go to Mecca to stand behind the Mahdi, the Islamic Savior, and pray, and he will destroy Judaism and Christianity. These are not three religions rooted together with a common bond.
David, one of the things that more and more Christians seem to be believing is that Allah is just another name for the one true God. Even in the mission field, missionaries are saying that that is the case. We're all worshiping the same God.
Well, here's what I would say. Allah is not just another name for the one true God. It's the same name for a different God entirely. And here's what I mean by that. Allah is simply the generic Arabic word for God. But the God of the Quran, or Allah, is a completely different God than the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, the Quran very clearly states that God has no son, and therefore Jesus is not God. That means that he was not the incarnation of God. He could not have died for the sins of all men. And in fact, they say that it was not Jesus who was crucified. What they say is it was actually Judas who was crucified in Jerusalem, and that God actually changed his face, his countenance, so he looked like Jesus, while Jesus was actually had traveled to Mecca and was praying at the Kaaba while Judas was being crucified. This is not the same God.
Let's go back for a moment to the idea of Islam being a religion of peace. You know, it's very obvious that the Obama administration went out of its way to argue that the jihadist terrorist groups like ISIS, Islamic State, of course, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Muslim Brotherhood are not really Islamic at all.
Well, I would say that is a complete falsehood, and it's very misleading. And you're right, the politicians, led by the Obama administration with President Obama himself, misrepresenting what is going on. In fact, I would say that ISIS is perhaps the purest form of Quranic Islam that exists, and that is because they very closely follow not only the teachings, but the hadith, which are the practices and sayings of Muhammad, and they are the ones who are following the Quran to the letter. It is true that you have Muslims who claim to be moderate, and not all Muslims, maybe not even most, are terrorists, but in one sense, they're just like liberal Christians who don't believe the Bible and don't live according to the Bible. They're ones who don't live according to the Quran, and they actually deny what the Quran is saying or what it is teaching in order to live in peace. So it is the jihadists who are actually practicing Islam in its purest form.
David, is it not true, though, that there are some verses in the Quran that require Muslims to be kind toward the people of the book, Christians and Jews? And if so, why do so many Muslims actually hate Christians and Jews? Isn't this a clear contradiction in Islamic theology and practice?
Well, that's a great question, and to answer it, people need to understand how the Quran came into existence and also how it's put together. The Quran that they have today, the order of it is not in chronological order in which it was revealed. I believe it goes from the longest to the shortest surah or chapter, so it's completely out of chronological order. And so the Quran was, according to Islam, was revealed to Muhammad over a period of about 23 years. And what they would say is that the verses that talk of peace with Christians and Jews are the ones that were revealed early on, but the ones that were revealed later that calls for the killing of Jews and Christians and annihilating them, cutting their heads off, cutting hands off, annihilating them, overcoming them, those were revealed later, and it's called the doctrine of abrogation, that the later doctrines abrogate or set aside the others. So this is a very serious issue.
You know, David, we now, and of course everybody in the world knows it, we have a new president in the White House. And many are hopeful that he will be much more realistic in his handling of the problems, for example, in the Middle East, as well as prevent from happening here in the United States what is actually happening in Europe, where we started our discussion with the growing Muslim threat that's there.
Well, that's right. You know, he's talked very clearly in the, during the whole campaign about vetting or screening those who come from, especially from terrorist hotspots, to limit that, to make sure we know who's coming into our country. He's also looks like he's going to stand in, with Israel. He came out very strongly against the UN resolution against settlements, which the terrible thing where the United States abstained when they could have put a stop to it by vetoing it, and also this recent thing in Paris, standing against that, and now talking about moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, where it should be, because it's the capital of Israel. And the incoming spokesman today for him, Sean Spicer, said, stay tuned, because there's going to be an announcement in the near future about the embassy.
You know, this is good news, and it could possibly be bad news, but we're excited about the new president and what he has promised in his campaign, but really in the establishment of his cabinet and the advisors around him for what he has set as his agenda for his administration there in Washington, D.C. Our prayers need to go up, and we need to pray for those in higher authority, especially our new president, President Donald J. Trump. David, thank you so very much. Some great thoughts. We understand the Islamization of Europe is happening. It could spread to America. We're hoping and praying that the president, the new president, will keep that from happening. Hey, have a safe journey back. We'll talk when you're back in the United States next week. Have another conversation then.
Thanks, Jimmy. I'll look forward to it.